I got so dissatisfied with my life in terms of Yiddishkeit. Didn't go off the darach. I didn't start doing drugs.
It's not about making l'chaims all day. It's not about drinking.
No, not about drinking. Fun fact, I hate drinking. A mother calling out Tzala and saying, there are terrorists outside. I'm hiding my kids in the washing machine. And please come and get them because I'm coming outside to sacrifice myself, essentially, so the terrorists do not find my kids.
Who is your favorite person you had on the show?
That I've ever interviewed?
Yeah, it might be asking someone what their favorite child is.
Yeah, I mean, according to that, I would have like over 200 children. I promise, I talk a lot less there. Why are you wearing silly red pajamas? I was always very focused on doing the right thing, and I was so unhappy. And I'm like, why am I so unhappy? I'm following the ways of the Torah, right? I should be happy.
Jewish and Joyful, helping you live a better and happier life.
Hi, it's Ari Finger. Welcome back to the Jewish and Joyful podcast. I got to sit with Yaakov Linger. Yaakov is the founder of Living L'Chaim and the host of Inspiration for the Nation. Especially since October 7th, Yaakov has been on the Jewish media front lines, spreading inspiration, giving chizek to millions of people. We're going to talk about the people he talked with, the people who were personally affected by the war, and how to balance between pain and happiness, and some more very interesting topics. Our podcast is available on all streaming platforms. Talk about Parsha Knowledge, a weekly Torah publication. You can receive Torah thought stories and inspiration looking Parsha. You can email parshaknowledge@gmail.com. You can visit parshaknowledge.com. And we're going to talk about our Eilam Mishabura, the revolutionary project that's changing the world. So I hope you all enjoy this week's episode with Yaakov Linger.
Welcome, Yaakov. So we're just going to turn the table around a little. You're usually the one that's used to being the interviewer.
Yeah, and I actually hate being... Not hate. I'm so used to interviewing that my brain is always functioning as like, say the question, keep quiet, let them talk. So it's hard for me, I just say, hey, it's very hard for me to be on this, in this seat, but thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Sure. Okay, great. So could you just start off by telling us a bit about yourself, your background, your organization?
Sure. My name is Yaakov Linger. I am currently 31 years old. I'm turning 32 on May 18th. Okay. And 15th of the year. And I grew up in Brooklyn in Flatbush. I lived, you know, like someone says they're a Baal Tshuva, they're like a classic Baal Tshuva. I think I'm a classic from birth. I went to Yeshivas Chaim Berlin for elementary, went to Yeshiva for Rockaway for high school, then I went to Rabbi Center's Yeshiva for 4 years. And at a certain point in Eretz Yisrael, I got so dissatisfied with my life in terms of Yiddishkeit. Didn't go off the darach. I didn't start doing drugs or smoking, like nothing like that. I was just like very challenged with life. I'm like, hey, I was going to minyan 3 times a day since I was in my bar mitzvah. I was learning. I was always making sure to get aleph's and a's in yeshiva. I was never talking to girls. I was always very focused on doing the right thing, and I was so unhappy. And I'm like, why am I so unhappy? I'm following the ways of the Torah, right? I should be happy. And then it led to this discovery of like realizing, wait, am I really doing it because I want to be doing it? Am I doing it because like Hashem really told me to do it? Or am I doing it because like these are the rules, you got to follow the rules? And I slowly discovered that I was just doing everything because I got to follow the rules. And if you're doing things to just follow the rules, it's very hard to like make a real deep connection. And I'm still figuring things out, but Baruch Hashem, since then, since, you know, figuring out why we do mitzvahs, why I do mitzvahs, why I learn Torah, why I go to Minyan, I definitely have a deeper and stronger connection with Hashem. And I think that's what Living L'Chaim is. Living L'Chaim is a media company, an organization. We're a nonprofit. And our goal is to help people live a life that they're happy with. You know, I guess it's apropos to be on this podcast. Mm-hmm. The goal is to, you know, we have so many mitzvos and so many laws and so many commandments. Maybe there's a way to tap into everything else that we're doing in a way that we could focus in on the mitzvos, focus in on our connection to Hashem. And that's Living L'Chaim.
And how do you live L'Chaim? That's the big question.
That is the big question. I think it's really about living in the present. You know,
it's not like about making l'chaims all day. It's not about drinking.
No, not about drinking. Fun fact, I hate drinking. Not because I'm like, you know, like, oh, don't listen to your parents and don't drink. I happen to hate the taste of alcohol. I hate the effects of alcohol. But I do like, before someone drinks, they say l'chaim. Like,
right.
It's l'chaim, it's, you're supposed to enjoy. I think, you know, there's always, life is, you're supposed to have happy moments, you're supposed to have sad moments. Like, that's, of course, you know, we have Tisha B'Av, saddest day, and it represents all the sadness in the world, for sure. But when it's not Tisha B'Av, when it's not the 9 days, when it's not the 3 weeks, the rest of the time, you know, I'm not sure exactly when this is going to air, but we're coming into Adar. It says you should increase your simcha. Mishneplus Adar marbin besimcha. Increase it. What does that mean, increase? That's because you're always supposed to have simcha in your life. And that's you know, David HaMelech says famously that you're supposed to serve Hashem with simcha. You know, it's like, you know, if your parent asks you to, like, get them a can of soda, you could go get them the can of soda and be, like, upset. You're like, oh, I was in the middle of playing chess, and you get it for them. That's one level, and you're doing it, and you're serving your parents. But then there's another level of being like, I love you. Of course, again, it's not easy. In Kibbutz Avim, I'm not the best with it. I have a lot to improve on. But, you know, approaching that, or any mitzvahs that we do, or anything we do in life, with of like, right now, I'm in this moment, I'm connecting to Hashem, because Hashem said, Kibbutz Avim, and now my father's asking me for a can of Coke, and living in the present of saying, I am created right now to go get this can of Coke. Or something silly. Maybe I'll be an extreme example. You know, I was in Camp Simcha. I loved it. I was there for 6 years. When you're cheering up a kid, you're acting so silly. And you're like, you think to yourself, you're like, is this what Hashem wants me to be doing? Like, wearing this clown nose, or like dressed like Batman? And it's like, in this right moment, of course, you go to Das Torah and ask them exactly, you know, how you should be living your life. But yeah, in this moment, you should be acting silly. Like, that is right now, in that moment, you're cheering up a kid who's having a hard time with his life, and you're making them happy. Yeah, that's the ultimate way to connect to Hashem.
So on that topic, I heard a story. I don't know if it's true, that when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, you did something by the airport.
That is true. That is true. I was a little feisty in yeshiva, and my brother Yitzi was picking me up from the airport. I was coming back from first. I was in yeshiva for 4 years as a bachar, but this is my first year, and I wasn't home since Elul, since like August time, and I was coming back, I don't know, March, or I don't know what time of year it was, or April, and my brother was picking me up, and he was on the phone with me, and I heard the person by JFK, one of like the police officers, like you have to move, you're here too long, because they want you to circle, you know, they don't want you to like park there. And he was like waiting. He knew I was going to come out in like 2 minutes. He's like, no, I see him in the distance and on the phone. I'm like, there's no way you actually see me. And the police is like, you got to go around. So my brother had to go around again. And he finally saw me, and he realized why. I said, you won't recognize me. And I said, Yitzi, some guys go to Eretz Yisrael and they become a masmid. They flip out. I'm like, I didn't do any of those. But what I did do is I became a Kohen Gadol. And I had this entire Kohen Gadol costume, and I thought it'd be funny. I didn't cheshbon in that it'd be like 6 a.m. when my brother's picking me up, so he's very tired and like just very annoyed, and he's like, "What are you doing?" There's a picture of it somewhere. Yeah, I thought it'd be fun to do. But my friend said it. My Menachem Newman said a funny thing. He's like, "Imagine you're sitting next to a real Kohen Gadol on the airplane." He'll be like, "You think this is a joke?" But it was like right after Purim. I borrowed my cousin's costume. He was a Kohen Gadol. But yeah, I definitely have a fascination with Kohanim Gedolim. I think they're awesome.
Are you a Kohen?
I am not a Kohen. Not yet. I think Kohanim Gedolim specifically, I think they're very cool. I really do. But yeah, that was just a shtick, just to, you know, be silly, have one of those stories, and one of those stories. Yeah.
So now, on a more serious note, you are really on the media front lines, especially the Jewish media front lines, with millions of views. You're inspiring and giving chizuk to millions of people from around the world. How do you get into this, and what motivated you to start this after October 7th?
Yeah, sure. So I think a lot of people try to be like Hashem, right? That's it. You're supposed to be like Hashem, and Hashem is the ultimate good. And I think in the area that you know, people don't focus on as much, and maybe it's a weird thing to say, but like, Hashem is the creator, right? So I think anytime you create anything in life, it's always comes with a certain joy. And it could be something like that's not even so complicated. Like, let's say you're building a table from IKEA. When you finish building a table from IKEA, You know, it's like maybe adult Lego, but like you feel good because it's an accomplishment. It's doing something. It's Hashem's a creator. Hashem builds. And, you know, obviously Shabbos we rest, but the whole week we're trying to build. And it could be you're building a pshat in the Gemara. It could be you're building, you're an artist and you're writing something, you're making something like that. So I think in media particularly, I think from Yidden, we don't really build as much. And I think YouTube, you know, they have a title. It's called a YouTube creator. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I think to be a creator on YouTube, I'm not saying everyone should do it. It's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. But to create videos, create podcasts, of course, you know, speak to Rabbanim and see what's in line with what's proper for you. But I think being a creator and getting people, building a community, building something that people could tap into to find themselves, I think that's trying to be like Hashem, to like create something kind of out of nothing and try to build something with it. And it definitely brings me a lot of joy. So that's why I like doing it. And, you know, I think there is 99% negative when it comes to social media and all of this stuff. I totally agree. If you could not be on social media at all, if you don't need a smartphone, if you don't need internet, you're going to live a better life. But if you have it, because we're in 2024 and you're using Torah anytime and you're watching Living L'Chaim podcast, whatever you're doing, you're you know, old off, whatever it is, and you're using it to connect Hashem or using it to bank or use Waze, whatever the kosher apps that we're using. And of course, you have a filter. Then I personally liked sharing like my on WhatsApp status. Pretty sure the first day WhatsApp status came out, I was using it. It was like right after I personally got WhatsApp. I pushed off getting a smartphone for as long as I could. But once WhatsApp status came out, I'm like, I love it because it's like, you know, I don't have Snapchat anymore, but like I used to Snapchat stories of just like saying over what's going on. And I don't think Narishkeit, but just filling up with just good kosher entertainment of like what's going on in my life. And then ever since then, it just kept on evolving to, you know, doing more, doing podcasts and then doing videos also. And that's really the birth of Living L'Chaim, a list of ideas of shows to help people tap into, whether it's kosher money with finances or mental health, with that's an issue, or meeting incredible, awesome Yidden on or non-Jews that I've had on it, like two or three, on Inspiration for the Nation or Spirit of the Song or Charlene Aminoff's podcast or our new show for kids, Ventures of Zevi and Zadie, available wherever you listen to Apple Podcasts.
I heard some of it. I didn't know you're also...
I was a voice, but fun fact, I'll drop the scoop here. I am the voice of Zevi. There's Zevi and Zadie. But I don't think I'm going to any longer be the voice of Zevi. It was just out of necessity. But we found someone on the show, their nephew, who's the appropriate age of Zevi, wants to do the voice. I'm like, it's yours. I don't sound like a 12-year-old or 10-year-old, whoever old Zevi is. So I will be replaced, and I'm happy about it. I'm happy.
Can we hear you one last time doing a Zevi imitation?
Yeah. It's the first time and last time that I'll probably ever do a Zevium thing. What should I say? I don't know what to say. I don't know. Okay. I feel like... yeah, I don't even know what to say. Why are you wearing silly red pajamas? There you go.
That's my
impression of a 10-year-old.
And of course, recently, since October 7th, you've been interviewing and talking to many different people from all walks of life that have been personally affected by the war. And I'm sure they talked about how they cope, how they're coping through that challenge and how they remain happy and joyful. Because obviously, and I also want to ask you, how do you balance between pain and happiness? Because obviously you have to have some pain. You have to have pain for the brothers in Eretz Israel and Israel, but you also have to, you can't be depressed all the time. You also have to have some joy in your life. So first question is, how do those people you spoke with, how do they cope with it? And how do they get through it? And the second question is, how do you balance the two factors? How do you balance between being joyful and being sad?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's been a lot. It's been a lot since October 7th. I think it's the first time in many of our lives that we've seen like how much the world can hate Jews. We've always heard it. You know, my grandfather survived the Holocaust. And I've always heard him talk about the Holocaust, and of course we believe that it happened. That's not even a shaila, but hearing stories is very different from seeing it with our own eyes. Even Mitzrayim, right? Of course, what happened in Mitzrayim when the Yidden were leaving Mitzrayim, it was insane. It was terrible, and Baruch Hashem we got out. But it's very different. Like, you hear of it, and of course we believe it, but there's a different level of like seeing in the news right now what's going on, and how much anti-Semitism there truly is a whole nother level.
And now there's the Holocaust deniers. People are part of the government, I believe. It's crazy.
Yeah. Listen, it's a medrash that at the end of the day, Esav hates Yaakov, right? So not a chiddush. It's like this always happened and always will happen until Mashiach comes. And I think, you know, I think we've been seeing a lot of Yidden with having this very hard challenge of having to balance giving up and just, you know, joining in whatever pain they're going through. Whether, you know, I interviewed Hadass Lowenstein, who lost her husband. He was a soldier and a tremendous Talmud Chacham. She has 6 kids, and she has every right to just be like, I can't take this anymore. And you see people like her who are like, we gotta continue davening. We gotta continue doing mitzvahs. We gotta continue fighting Hamas. Like, whatever it is we need to do, Hashem is there. He's gonna give us our challenges, but we have to move on. And I think life is always that balance. And this is a very extreme balance of, like, you know, people going through the hard, crazy hardships and then having to continue on life. And that's what life is. Life is never black and white. You know, you hear stories, whenever you hear a story, stories are very amazing to inspire you. But the thing about stories, when you hear them, it's very black and white. Any story, think of any story. You're in shul, a rav's going to say a story. You're watching a podcast and someone's saying over a story. It's you're reading a book, there's a story. The problem with stories are they're very exact. Like, what all the information you need for that story is there. And you never have all the extra things going on. You know, when you start today, whatever day you're going through, and I say, oh, can you tell me what happened today? You'll tell me X, Y, and Z. There's so many things subconsciously that happens. Of like, while we're having this conversation, I'm talking to you, I'm seeing there's a brown door over there. If I recalled my day, I wouldn't even say that. But like, it's happening, and it's part of the what's going on. And that's part of the balance of what's going on. So I think stories are very misleading, because like, you're only saying exactly 1% of everything going on. And I think that's what life is, of like, all that bad, there's so much, there's a 1%, there's also the 99% of things that like people aren't cheshbening. So it's like when I tell you, oh, you got to not speak Lashon Hara, and you're like, for sure. And then you're in the environment of like all your friends, and they're all like hacking, and like you have a great line, and they're all saying Lashon Hara, and you're like, I can say the Lashon Hara also. And like, there's so much nuance and substance that like, that's part of the balance of like, you don't want to say Lashon Hara. And also in the moment, there's such a type, it's such a desire to speak Lashon Hara. And I think stories fantasize that idea of like black and white, you know, even like Avram Avinu, you know, he had a, Hashem tells him to Shecht Yitzchak. Like, for us, it's very black and white. But like, we don't even know the inner emotions of like what Avram was going through. Right. And of course he did it and he passed with flying colors, but there's so much nuance that like we don't pick up. And I think that's the balance. And right now we're seeing that balance on a very high scale with these, you know, tzaddikim and incredible people in Eretz Yisrael, of like, we clearly see Hashem testing them, and so many of them just being mechazik others. And it's beautiful.
There are so many people that want to say Divrei Torah by the Shabbos table with a beautiful story, or they just want to have some good reading material, short and sweet for Shabbos. I want to introduce to you Parsha Knowledge. Parsha Knowledge is a weekly Torah publication with Torah thoughts, stories, and inspiration on the weekly Parsha. Short and sweet, straight to the point, and Baruch Hashem, it's inspiring thousands of people. If you'd like to subscribe, please email parshaknowledge@gmail.com, parshaknowledge@gmail.com, or you can visit parshaknowledge.com. Subscribe to the email. You could WhatsApp 646-397-2320. Start getting it for yourself, for your shul, for your family. I'm sure you'll love it. To sponsor an episode, please call 646-397-2320, or you can email us at jewishandjoyful@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you, and now back to this episode with Yaakov Linger.
Do you have a favorite story with all the nuances?
So I'm going to share a story. We just had Eli Bier on, and I thought it was a crazy story. That he was saying that one of the calls they got, Eli Bier is he runs United Hatzalah, we founded it, and there's obviously so many people, incredible people involved there. And he said one of the calls, they got so many heartbreaking calls. One of the calls that came in was a mother calling Atzala and saying, there are terrorists outside. I'm hiding my kids in the washing machine. And please come and get them because I'm coming outside to sacrifice myself, essentially. So the terrorists do not find my kids. Like, it's like kind of like not believable. It's like a crazy idea. But of course, it's like a Jewish mother's love for her children. And it's like the ultimate sacrifice of like what someone could do. So that story's coming to mind now. I think it's wild. So it's that's mamish dying al kiddush Hashem. It's,
So what was the most stressful time of your career?
Good question. Definitely October 8th. It was very overwhelming is the word. It was first of all emotionally just very scary what was going on and a very unknown. Like right now we know what happened, but like then it was like, so you're coming out of Yontif and you're like, what? Like you always hear of like, you know, it's terrible, but like attacks happening and it's not like to this scale. So it was shocking. And then it was this tremendous pressure to share. There was so much negativity. I saw a few things that I'm like, why are you sharing that? Like some Jewish outlets, some non-Jewish outlets. I'm like, it's so disgusting. Like, why are you sharing that? The world doesn't need to see that. And I'm like, it's our mission now, Living the Chaim's mission, to share the things going on that are going to bring people closer to Hashem. Like, that's going to make a kiddush Hashem. That was our goal. And there's a line that I heard from Mr. Rogers, the famous child psychologist, and he had a show on television. His mother said that whenever there's a tragedy, look for the helpers. And I think I heard that line when it was 9/11. But whenever there's a tragedy, it's terrible. You have like evil people in the world who are just trying to do bad. But surrounded by that, after the tragedy happens, you see how many more helpers there are, how many more people there are trying to help. So the amount of content that was provided from all the volunteers and just people sending over to Living L'Chaim, it was overwhelming. I was overwhelmed. It was like I was posting a video at least every 2 hours for like 2 months straight. I'm not exaggerating. On our social channels every 2 hours. Again, sometimes I schedule like 6 videos over the course of 6 hours, but it was overwhelming. There was so many Yidden gathering supplies for soldiers, donating tefillin, giving over their, you know, Rabbi Sender gave over his yeshiva basically to anyone who's misplaced. People donating blood, like tehillim, davening. It was just overwhelming amount of achdus that I've never seen in Klal Yisrael since in my 31 years.
Yeah. And what's your personal way to deal with challenging times, stressful times?
That's a good question. Depends on what scale. I think talking it over. If it's like extremely hard, like I'll go to therapy. I'll talk to a therapist about it. I think that's very helpful. Having someone who's like or a Rebbe, you know, having someone. I definitely lean on my Rebbeim a lot to ask questions, look for guidance, talk to friends, talk to my wife, family. I think talking to people. I don't like big groups per se, but I definitely love one-on-one conversations and stuff like that. So if I'm personally going through something like that, I wish my answer, you know, definitely davening is a factor, but it's, and I don't want to say like, I wish I could more. I don't want Hashem to test me. Hashem, please don't test me. But no, I wish I related more to that. Like, I think some people on that level of like, they, you know, daven. I definitely talk to Hashem in English a lot. I think that's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Who is your favorite person you had on the show?
That I've ever interviewed?
Yeah, it might be asking someone who their favorite child is, man.
Yeah. According to that, I would have like over 200 children. especially if you're asking on all Living the Time shows or you're asking on Inspiration for the Nation?
Your personal Inspiration for the Nation, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're coming up to episode 100 and plus.
Well, milestone.
Yeah. And I've interviewed other shows, 80 people. I'll tell you about an episode. I don't have an answer right now. And the answer changes often. I just did an episode on Friday. You know what? I don't want to spoil it, but it was awesome episode. That is a hard question. Okay. It's such a hard question. I really enjoyed, this is right now my mood. I'm going through it. I really enjoyed interviewing Myla Cohn. What's the title of it? It's From Homelessness Back to Hasidic Judaism. Myla Cohn is most known for his song V'Ahavta.
Mm.
And he comes from a hardcore Hasidic background. And he literally went off the Darach. And he was a masman. He was like, I don't remember if he answered it or just came up. Like, he said one of his favorite mitzvahs is learning, which is like something that like most people don't actually even answer that surprisingly. But like someone who's like a singer, like learning, like he's like, I love learning Gemara.
They also like making people happy.
He likes making people happy. Good call. But he I think there was a particular story in there that he, you know, unfortunately went off the Darach, and of course he came back, but when he was off the Darach, he mentioned how his father asked him to bring him to the mikvah. His father's Hasidish, and he was older, so he needed help. And he would bring his father to the mikvah, and he said, he's like, I'm one of, I don't know, I remember, 14 kids. He has a bunch of siblings. He's like, why did my father ask me? And he said, it's his father's way of showing to him, like, although you're not living, you know, the life that we hope you would live, we still love you. And he's like, you have to chop. I'm like, I forgot what chassid is, Satmer, I think. He's like, Satmer chassidim. It's like, it's like a busha. It's an embarrassment that I went off the Darach. More than that, he's like, I'm a guy. He's like, I had tattoos all over my body. I'm like, take off my shirt. Everyone's seeing my father being, you know, with his son, with tattoos all over his body. And he's like, but still, it's like things like that brought me back to Yiddishkeit. And I thought that was very beautiful. I thought it was a very, very beautiful story. So right now, my answer is that was a great episode, Myla Cohn.
So you mentioned about mitzvahs. I usually don't ask this, but I know you're very into it. What's your favorite mitzvah?
Yeah, I hate getting asked these questions, not because it's anything you're doing wrong. I just think it's such a hard question to answer, but I deserve being asked that question because I ask it to so many people. Like I said before, I'm going to answer it based on my mood. I don't know the exact mitzvah, but I know it's there. The mitzvah to give honor, to give kavod to Talmidei Chachamim.
Mm-hmm.
I love relying on Rav Eitan Feiner, Rav Mati Neuberger, Rav Noach Victor, Rav Chaim Tzvi Center, Rabbi Erlansky, the Rabbanim that I have in my life. I have questions, and I go to different people for different questions. And I love that the Chachamim, the Rabbanim that I have in my life, they're the busiest people I know, busier than any other people, but they make time for me. And I have such a respect for them and Akar Satov. And like, I once heard someone saying Lashon Hara, which wasn't even true, but like saying something negative about one of the people I listed, and I'm like, I loved defending them and like going to battle for them. I really loved it, and I love them, and I think, you know, at least myself, I could definitely always improve on giving them more covered, and it brings me a lot of joy because they're there for Klal Yisrael. They're holding up the world with the Torah they're learning and how they're guiding communities, and I think we all have a Rav, a Rebbe, someone special in our lives that we can reach out to more often and show them a card type. Whether we call them to say thank you and that we appreciate them, to send them money, because a lot of times these Rabbanim, they're there, they're helping and run the world, but at the same time, they're not asking people because, you know, they're just doing and they could use help. So you want to give them a thank you, you want to give them a card, you want to give them money, go ahead and thank your Rebbe in your life.
And what was your favorite response to the mitzvah question?
Your response. I'm not going to give an answer only because I don't remember. I honestly, sometimes I like people mention like, oh, I remember you said, like, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Cause two things. First of all, when someone's listening to a podcast, it's easier to remember things, I've realized, because when I'm having the conversation, I'm not listening to it. I'm listening to whatever their answer is going to be, and I have to think of the next question. So I'm listening to the conversation, but the brain remembers it in a different way. So I don't really remember most answers. If you say something, I'll be like, yes, I remember that now. But off the top of my head, I don't remember.
What does Jewish and joyful mean to you?
Jewish and joyful to me is the most up-and-coming Jewish podcast, which I know is not the answer you're looking for, but that's the answer that I'm going to give.
Thank you for that answer, but what does the two together mean?
Yeah, I think they're synonymous. You know, being a Yid comes with, obviously, there's a lot of challenge in anyone's life, whether you're a Yid or not a Yid, but if you're a Yid particularly, you know, we're always put in positions where we have to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And I think that sometimes people might think that when you have a challenge, that means you can't be happy, right? You can't enjoy life. Like, how could I be happy and enjoy life if I go to sleep and then I have to wake up early to go daven? I'd much rather sleep in. If I sleep in, I'll be happier. But it's not a stira. To wake up 6:30 to go learn and then to go daven is the thing that's gonna help you live a happier life, because happiness has nothing to do with pleasure. Happiness has everything to do with challenges and overcoming your challenges. And being a Yid, we have so many assays, los assays, and we have so many challenges, and we have so many opportunities to overcome those challenges. And we all know that feeling that we've overcome a challenge in our life, and we know how good it feels. So to be Jewish is to be joyful.
Right. It's funny, I think we had Simcha Leiner on, and he said that he thinks
new CD. Check out his new CD. I just saw a thing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna plug it. Yeah, sure.
Spoke about it. Yeah, it's 7 chuppah experience. Sheva. It's beautiful. An hour and a half long of chuppah songs.
Wow.
Yeah. No. So he said that he thinks Jewish being joyful are two separate things. But if you're Jewish, you're being joyful to the next level.
That's beautiful.
And but Joey, from a different singer, Joey Newcomb, a clip, and it's coming out soon, Be'ez Hashem. Again, I don't know when this is coming out. We'll see. But Joey said that they're the same thing. So everyone has different opinions. Maybe make a mashup, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think like, you know, whenever you're going through, you know, Gemara or Mishnayos, so you're always like, okay, what's the pshat? And you have someone explaining it this way and someone explaining it that way. And maybe there's an answer sometimes, but also sometimes there's this idea that, like, we have different, you know, we all have a destination to get to, and different people, different chachamim, at least in the Gemara, I'm not calling myself chacham, but like different people in the Gemara, they have a different way of getting to the destination. So to hear Jewish and joyful, you know, maybe Joey's answer, maybe Simcha Leiner's answer, they're the same thing, they're different things, they're the right thing, like different directions to the same destination.
Before we get back to this episode, I want to tell you something. You know, so many people say, I want an halacha, but it's so hard for me. I want to learn Mishnah Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim's Mishnah Berurah, but how? How do I get to it? It's too hard. I can't understand it. I want to tell you about an incredible project, a revolutionary project that is changing the world, Ar Olam Mishnah Berurah. They have an incredible Hebrew-English translation of the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah. Get one at a local bookstore. They have over 21 volumes out already. For more info, you can call 516-666-7646. Or you could email rilmmb@gmail.com, and their website is r-ilm.org. For more information, please see the show notes. And now back to this week's episode with Yaakov Linger.
Who is the happiest person that you know?
Who is the happiest person that I know? I don't have a clear answer because I'm not good on the spot.
It's probably someone that came to your head in the beginning.
No, not really, because you never really know who's happy. You know what I mean? I think that I won't give you a person, but I'll tell you a pattern that I think is accurate. The happiest people are usually the people that have nothing to do with their smiling, the whole, like, that's just like a face. Some people are good actors, some people are, you know, whatever. Some people, it's accurate, they're smiling because they're happy. But I think the happiest people are the people that are truly you know, it's Mishnayos, but they're happiest with what they have. And more than that, they don't expect anything. They don't expect anything. I found that whether it's in Ruchnius or Gashmius, you'll have, I'll give you examples. You have a kid of a billionaire, and anyone that, not anyone, but a lot of guys that I know that they have so much money, the family has so much money, like they're not happy. If you ask me, I don't think they're happy. And they get to go on vacations and this, and monetarily, they're not happy. And then you have children of Rosh Hashivas or Rabbanim, and a lot of times they're also not happy. And like, you know, stat or, you know, actors' children, I don't know. And I think the pattern is like, they have so much to expect in life, whether it's money or fame or even Ruchnius in a certain way. You know, like they want to be the next Rosh Hashiva. And they whether they put it on themselves or life makes them expect things, I think that's usually a challenge for disaster. And I think the people that are the happiest are usually like the random people like on the street that like you would see them and you'd be like, Nebuch, they lost both their parents, they have no money, they mamish, everything's going wrong. And very often those people, again, sometimes they're miserable and they have good reasons to be miserable. But very often I find that people in those positions that don't expect anything, they're like, they're happy. They're like, I'm breathing. I'm eating food. I have some shelter. Things are good. I have what to give in my life. And I think when we get too much and expect too much, it just leads to disappointment because life has so many disappointments. And that is my answer.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Okay, if anyone watching this wants to see more of me talking less, then go ahead and check out Inspiration for the Nation. I promise I talk a lot less there, and you'll hear great guests. We've had a few guests that have been on Jewish and Joyful come on Inspiration for the Nation. We had an official Schechter, right? And others. And yeah, if you have not subscribed to Jewish and Joyful, go ahead and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast on 346 and Apple and Spotify. And yeah, shkayach. Thank you so much, Aryeh.
I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode with Yaakov Linger. We have some more incredible guests in Chada coming soon. Some Rabbanim and speakers and singers. Stay tuned for our special Purim episode. Be sure to follow and subscribe for more. Please comment and share. You could email us at jewishandjoyful@gmail.com. You can visit our website, parshanknowledge.com. And remember to check out our Mishnah Berurah, get one for yourself, and have a new experience of learning. And subscribe to Parsha Knowledge by emailing parshanknowledge@gmail.com. Visit parshanknowledge.com. Great for your Shabbos table and just a short, concise, and sweet thought and story on the Parsha. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing day. And remember to be Jewish and joyful.